Today on Center Stage Minnesota, we have an interview with the guys from Big Tree Bonsai. I met with them when they were up near the end of November and played a show in Bemidji. And they just recently released their record, Awoken. It's a great record, and they're a really compelling dynamic while they have great live performances, is what I'm trying to say. And I was really happy with the way our conversation went. I think you'll find it interesting as well. So that's going to be coming up in a little bit. I'd like to let you know also that Center Stage Minnesota is an original production of Northern Community Radio, and it's heard on the stations of Ampers. Find us online at kaxe.org. The show is supported by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Big Tree Bonsai has got an interesting story. It's, in some ways, the way the guys found their way into this band is somewhat typical of any good music scene, but at the same time, it's interesting because it is, it just shows you that you never know. I mean, you always kind of hope that what you're doing right now, I think when you're an artist or a musician or a writer, is going to be the final form that something that's very satisfying for you takes. And then maybe 5 years down the road, you look back and you realize that you need to go through what you went through to get there. But you certainly had taken your final turn before you sort of gelled into something that felt more permanent and more correct. So we'll hear that interview with those guys from Big Tree Bonsai, and of course music coming up from them in just a little bit. We're going to start off right now, though, with a nice long one from Kevin Bowe, the Okama Prophets, from his 2001 release, Love Songs and Murder Ballads. This is his version of Get Rhythm. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
That's Fall from the new Awoken release from Big Tree Bonsai. And before that, Get Rhythm, the closing track on Love Songs and Murder Ballads, 2001 release from Kevin Bow and the Okama Prophets. Those of you that were at our festival this summer know that Kevin was quite a performer, and he's also a well-known songwriter. These days, probably more known for that than his music, but certainly no slouch on the stage either. Big Tree Bonsai has got an interesting story. They're a band that sort of formed in Duluth. At least the two of the members that are in it now work together there up in Duluth. They moved out of the Twin Cities, some geographical, having one foot in each city and some other geographical challenges, along with just life priorities that happen with people that are musicians as they move up into their 20s and stuff. Sort of had two of the members of that band kind of shoehorning in their bedroom and working on music and getting kind of ready for the next thing. And then they were working as an opening gig for a New Year's Eve gig for Shoeless Revolution. And as kind of happens sometimes, these guys had known each other for some time. And I don't think anybody had necessarily conscious plans to form a band years down the road. But that's kind of what happened, partially because Reed Grimm, a member of Shoeless Revolution, got pulled into American Idol. American Idol has some pretty restrictive and thick contracts. And so Shoeless Revolution was idol because of that. And so these guys kind of got together. And now this current formation of Big Tree Bonsai. They recently put out, they've got an EP out, and they also put out this new record, Awoken, which was produced by Jake Dilley. And it's a really fantastic release, and I've seen them a couple times live now. They caught them in Park Rapids, and they were recently in Bemidji. And there's just nothing really not to like about this band. So that's sort of the setup, and the band includes Matt, and I hope I get this right, D-U-E-A, Matt Duay, Brandon Hagstrom, Jack Kolb, Williams, Zach Mullen, and Ben Peterson. And we're going to hear that interview in just a minute, but we're going to hear one more from their record. This one is called Wayside.
As I grow up, I've started to think, how could my dreams be bigger than they felt back then? I wonder where the hell they went. A cup of coffee with a cigarette, spending my nights out and up way too long, and it was all just for fun. Though each day they claim we'll fall to the wayside, in complacency reigns where we most desire. I can't tell if I feel sorry. Stuck in place, I'm already packing my bags. So the city ain't what it used to be. Walking with the dollar short of nothing, and the roots of yesterday. As I grow up, I've started to think, could my dreams be bigger than they felt back then? Oh, as they felt back then. Though each day to
Recent release from Big Tree Bonsai, that's Wayside from Awoken. When I was talking to these guys, it definitely occurred to me, both having seen them play live and just kind of talking to them before we really got started with the interview, that they are all really accomplished and precise musicians, and any one of them, I think, probably could front a band, which usually indicates that there's been a background of that goes probably all the way back to elementary school of learning about music or learning music from people when you're at a very young age. And so I decided, sort of on the spur of the moment, to inquire about what some of their background was in that way, and sort of what they thought about the fact that the arts are some of the first things on the chopping block with budget constraints coming down the pike regularly these days, and what the consequences of that may be.
What's your opinion about school as school cuts go? I haven't asked a lot of musicians this. In terms of like the way that, you know, the public and all the we got to make more cuts,
And
the
it's
way
always
that
the arts.
Yeah. What do you guys think about that? What role did, or I guess maybe more simply to narrow it down a little bit more, what did that mean? I mean, the training that you guys probably had, most of you, it seems like, probably had decent elementary and high school band and music programs.
Mrs. Campbell, bless her heart.
Yeah, personally for me, I think it was huge. We had a music teacher in seventh grade who really kind of in a unconventional way, she stressed like classic rock, and we'd study Led Zeppelin for a week and the Rolling Stones for a week, and it was really cool, and all of our friends. That's kind of how we got into playing guitar and stuff. From that class, she taught little guitar lessons and stuff, and so our first bands kind of originated out of that classroom, and that was really important. That's kind of really shaped the path I took.
Yeah, that was a huge deal for myself as well. I came up in the Minneapolis public schools. That was back when the band started. You could be in band when you're in fourth grade, and it was such a huge deal. I mean, it was a smaller group, but we had a great band director, as Bill Scripps was his name, and actually we found out later that he was also the band director for David Perner from Soul Asylum, so we always felt some weird, my brother and I always felt some weird Minneapolis pride about that, but that program has now been cut back, and I believe it's, you can't be in band until, what, sixth grade now in the Minneapolis public schools, so it's really a shame to see that going away, and I'm also a little bit biased as my wife is an orchestra teacher for elementary schools, but she's got a great program and a great place to be a part of, and it's huge to see all the kids involved in music with all the different things they can be involved in, hockey or sports or gymnastics, and just music is something that you can do for your entire life, even if it's not what you do for a living, and I think that's big important part of, you know, the future of all the people that will be occupying this space in 20 years, 40 years.
I also, just to quickly chime in, you know, from my opinion, because I didn't have any real inspirational music teachers or whatnot, but I guess the way I feel about the cuts of the arts is I feel like our kids, you know, nowadays are just losing creativity in the arts, you know, create so much imagination. You know, you don't see those kids outside, you know, playing baseball, throwing a ball against the fence, you know, pretending they're so-and-so anymore, or just being very creative with their games and socialization elements to their upbringing. At least maybe I'm just not surrounded by those kids, or, you know, like the neighborhood kids, like I obviously when I was one of them. But I realized that a lot of like the finance and business and communication worlds are the, I guess, what would you call it, the top of the pyramid to making countries and stuff like that run, I guess. But a lot of times I feel like we're going to end up losing that imagination and creativity that I feel the generation that maybe we are in, but previous to us, kind of, you know, held.
If I can just real quick, because it's kind of a charged topic, but I left the music program for the reasons that most people do. And at UMD, I went as a jazz studies major with an emphasis in percussion. Went for a couple years, and then finally I changed to more of the business school because of all the reasons that most parents say. You know, what are you going to do for your future? You need to do something. And I think I was reading a book. It's called How Creativity Works by, I think, Jonah Lehrer. But he, I think, captured it really well. He said that music, when you are young, and that's what we're really using, when you cut the arts, you lose getting kids involved early. And they are not, they don't have a chance to get involved until, like Ben said, sixth or seventh grade, which in my mind, you've kind of formed opinions at that point by your peers, and band isn't cool at that point. And I think what music really does is when you sit down and you're really trying to learn your instrument, and for Zach, you know, it's practicing scales. For me, it was practicing rudiments, you know, the 26 essential snare drum rudiments and all these things, and we all learn them as musicians. What it teaches you is grit. And I think you sit by yourself in a basement somewhere and you actually really learn to dig into something. And even if you don't end up playing your whole life, you start to learn that hard work actually does churn out results, even if you don't understand how at that time. And I think that's super important for a young individual who's in fourth grade to understand that hard work on the very little things can actually really empower you. By learning the language, you can really kind of do stuff with that later on, even if it isn't musically, you know. I feel like it's translated to my business and my whole life.
Yeah, there's a lot of problem solving in those thought processes, too, that go on. It's more an abstract type of problem solving. And at those ages, it could establish patterns of thought or ways of going about things that you may not be able to do or establish at a later age.
Yeah.
I'm always curious because I think it's interesting. And also, it's just like you can't quantify the results of creativity, so therefore we won't try right in that area.
1, 2, 3.
Sarah, while you're fast asleep, all beyond the road, doing well what I know best, rolling down the road. I've seen those mountains, river valleys, rolling down the road, catching wind in these cold hands, longing to make their way home. Rolling down the road, my face and smile have grown. It's dead in the streets, I'm tired and my feet are longing to make their way.
Careful of what you say, what's done is done. windows open, doors I'm making, late nights are how it goes. Sarah, while you're fast asleep, I'll be almost home.
Rolling down the road from Big Tree Bonsai, from their recent release, Awoken. Continuing on now with my conversation with the guys that are make up the band Big Tree Bonsai.
On your website, you guys have described the sound of Big Tree Bonsai as blending Americana, alt country, and vintage rock. And then further, it goes to say that it's evocatively familiar, yet completely new. And this that second part really rang true with me. I was trying to figure out a way to describe it in my own words, and then I read that and I was like, I'm not going to do any better than that. So sure. But that's what I felt when I saw you guys in Park Rapids this summer. It took me about half of your set for me to figure out what was going on in my mind there, because it felt like I was hearing invention to me, but at the same time you guys are playing song structures that I've heard almost to a point where I've gotten tired of them, unless, but you guys do it in a way that that's not the feeling I get at all. But I've heard a lot of other bands sort of try to revive those song structures, and I haven't felt that they were nearly as successful as you guys have been. So that said, I guess I think that it's a pretty brave area that you guys are going into. I'm wondering if that sound, when you reformed, is that sound something that you guys knew? Was it pretty clear what your vision was together, or did you guys take a while to work that out?
I think we knew where we had been, and we knew what we no longer kind of wanted to represent. And I think maybe we were often associated with jammy bands and that sort of scene, and that was maybe our younger days or our college days. And I think we just matured as people and as music listeners, and we're getting more into the singer-songwriter thing, and just like looking at a song, trying to write a song front to back that was, you know, 3 minutes long, that says something, that means something. And so those were kind of guidelines that we took into consideration with when we reformed, you know, and just kind of looked at bands like Dawes and Blitz and Trapper and Wilco, and they were all doing these songs that could make you feel within, you know, instantly. And we're like, that's something that would be a challenge, that would be really something to strive to do in our music. And so that's kind of where we went. And I think we're still kind of discovering where we are and, you know, what we do well, what we don't do so well, and kind of really strengthening as a unit at this point. But I think we've come a long way since we first started.
Indeed.
That's a very good answer, Zach.
Oh, thank you.
Was that markedly different from the previous? I'm assuming it is, because you said you were kind of almost worn out in your own eyes before. How long was the break?
As a band playing out live, I got to imagine about 5 or 6 months, but Zach and I were like an old country music video, tearing our beer for about three months. We'd go and write songs and try to craft these songs, just us two, for a few hours, like almost every single night. And then we'd go to the bar and talk about how awesome it would be to have a band. And where I think we definitely thought pretty hard about sort of what sound we kind of wanted to go for and the instrumentation. And that definitely reflected ourselves early in a group. And now with this new album out, I think it's pretty evident that we've all kind of are slowly falling into our own personality with the group, and less sort of, hey, Zach and I have this song, do this. You know, it's everyone's kind of, you know, and that's always going to evolve too. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't very long, but, you know, 5 months without playing music when we've been playing music for 5 or 6 years previous to that, it seems like an eternity. When we don't play together for a week, we are all texting each other being like, are we a band yet? Or still? I mean, are we a band? We should rehearse.
Just kind of continue with talking about the sound here. You know, I'd say that it has punch and grit. At the same time, it's also really pretty, which is kind of goes in different direction. The combination keeps surprising me in a really good way. I think it's grabbing my subconscious. It grabs my listening attention, I notice, more than other music that I like quite a bit, because right. I think I don't want to miss the next, like, wow moment, whether it's a little one or a big one. Some of them are actually pretty subtle. So it seems to me like on numerous levels, a Big Tree Bonsai sound pulls listeners in opposing directions, thus kind of creating a lot of interest. because of this dichotomy of what's going on numerous levels, like I said. That's not really a question, but I'd like you guys to comment on that.
Thank you.
That was something that I felt I used to struggle with as far as with the band, just being like, I tend to write a big part in writing a lot of the songs, at least initial structures and stuff. And so when you write this song and you write this idea and you have this thing in your head and it doesn't turn out that way, and we all come from very vast musical backgrounds. So then when you have five people inputting their musical ideas and their personalities essentially through their instruments, it turns out a lot different, you know. And for a while it took me to be like, that's not what I wanted, or like it's. I think I struggled, and I think I've communicated like in the very beginning, like, oh man, we should be tighter focused on our sound. And now, just kind of, you know, you go out and you see a lot of bands, and I feel like you see half an hour, and you kind of get a good taste of what it is, you know. And not to kind of put ourselves on any sort of pedestal, but I feel we are more dynamic in some ways as far as our genres and how expansive and diverse it is. And I've come to happily accept that and actually emphasize that more. Yeah. At the same time, each song has We're Big Tree Bonsai, you know, it's not too different.
That was definitely something we've struggled with, just to like figure out, you know, do we have too wide a sound? Are we going in too many directions at once? Are we confusing the people, or, you know, what's going on there? And I think that stems from, you know, Jack will bring in a solid structure of a song. Brandon brings in a lot of structures of songs, and then I'll throw in a couple here and there. So we end up getting a wide variety of results. And that was something that we were like, Is that confusing to somebody? Them not being able to put our finger on us, is that a bad thing? Is that a good thing? And at this point, I think we're like, it is what it is. And, you know, that's kind of what will happen. So
yeah, and, you know, this band, we rehearse a lot, a couple times a week, all the time, regardless of whether or not we have gigs. So there's always a constant interaction that we have on a creative level in a lot of different ways. So what's really interesting to me witnessing this group sort of grow and mature in things is that we've become a good unit at like writing music and creating music together. It's a very fluid thing. There's been times where we'll write a song and learn a song like in one rehearsal, like it'll just churn out that way and it'll just come very naturally, and we'll kind of look at each other and say like, wow, we just wrote that song. It's already is. And then we'll have ones that take weeks and weeks and are crafted. So we get a very interesting dynamic as far as how we creatively work off one another, and we also have a lot of patience working with one another to like really allow these things to evolve and to continue to grow, and then put them under the microscope and really start to pull through some of those nuances you're talking about, you know, to really make those interesting points pop out to people that are really engaging and listening to when they're taking the whole record in, sort of thing.
Here is one that we recorded in the studio when I had the guys from Big T Bonsai in at the KBXE studios in Bemidji.
Once you get on your feet, there'll come a time they will see. Truth be told, you lay it down. When the sensory new from the witness test, warm again, the spring confess. Walking in the sun as my heart beats through my chest. I said, I like that, let's go there, let's never look back. Boy, you know it's hard to live sometimes. Cornered, you must fit. Frame it up and build it out. Observe the time you might have missed. Swallow pride, steal a kiss. Extend a hand, put away your fist. I said, I like that, let's go there, let's never. I said, I like that, let's go there, let's never look back. Take your time and pace yourself. Boy, you know you're bound to figure it out.
Back on your feet again. When you get back. get back on your feet again. Love is gold, some may say. Others are drunk, that's hard to break. Either way, might have to wait till the sense renew from the winner's test. Warm again, does spring confess? Carefree and foolish. I said, I like that, let's go there, let's never look back. I said, I like that, let's go there, let's never look back. Time and pace yourself. Boy, you know you're bound to figure it out when you get back on your feet again. When you get back on your feet again. When you get back on your feet again.
I'm cool with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one sounded good. That was recorded at KBXC Studios in Bemidji, Northern Community Radio's studios. Back on your feet, there's a version of that song on the album as well. Continuing on with our conversation.
Your recently completed full-length record, Awoken, to my ears, doesn't have one song that represents a dip in quality or a dip in interest. First of all, that's rare.
Thank you.
Second, that indicates to me that together you guys are really effective self-critics. It can be really difficult.
Right?
Oh,
God.
Oh,
wow.
You nailed it.
Well, I mean, you have to be in order for a record to be that way because, I mean, musicians sort of, and it's totally understandable that you, like I said, it can be really difficult both to set the bar for what makes the final cut so high, and then maybe this is even more the more important part, to look at your own songs in a way that you've detached yourself maybe from the initial inspiration or whatever it is that you liked initially about what made you want to write that song, and objectively hear, you know, that 3 or 4 minutes of music and then decide whether you want to adjust it or scrap it or do whatever you want to do with it. So how does that process go with you guys? Is it friendly, tense at times?
It's all over.
Yeah,
And I think that's the beauty of it is we're all friends, you know, and we're all pretty close friends too. And, you know, with any sort of friendship or any sort of close relationship, you have to be open, you know. It's kind of like having a girlfriend. You know, you have to be open in communicating your thoughts and your feelings, because otherwise someone's going to be, you know, sitting over there looking like their dog has died while they're playing the song because they're completely unhappy, you know. So I feel like we're at the point where we're really open with it. And sometimes it does get heated, for sure. But we try to keep it in a very constructive type of, you know, if you don't have a solution to it, you know, there's no reason in kind of bringing it up, although I'm sort of a hypocrite saying that sometimes. Sometimes I'm just like, I don't like that.
I don't know why. I can't tell you. No.
And it'll take like 5 or 10 minutes, and then I'll send a text at like 1 in the morning and be like, sorry, you guys.
Well, sometimes, you know, you can, maybe somebody else will find the solution if you point out that there's a problem in a spot or, you know.
Jake Dilley helped us. Jake Dilley's in a band called The Color Pharmacy. Yeah. He helped produce our album. And that was really important to us because he's our friend as well. So we know he's going to be honest with us. But he came in and we did pre-production on all of our songs for about a month and a half. And he was just brutally honest with us and be like, no, cut that. Do this. What do you guys think of this? You know, we took what we needed to take from that, and but it's still, you know, a self-produced album to a certain extent, but he definitely helped us elevate the songs to another level.
He more or less got in there with a big scalpel and was just like, let's get rid of all the fatty parts of this song and get it nice and lean.
Yep. And that was so helpful to do, and it also kind of rubbed off on the way that we write songs after going through that pre-production time. He's like, do we really need to do that six times, or could we maybe get that across in two? You know, and we have written a couple new songs since that pre-production time, and I feel that they are all more concise because of how Jake helped us look at our songwriting and how to, you know, produce ourselves.
Are there songs that didn't make the record that you guys hope that maybe just are, that aren't scrapped, but they're just going to be, you know, like you guys are going to work on them more?
Funny that you say that. Well, the song Bathroom Floor, we released as a B-side. It's always one of those, or it has been as of late, one of those you look at on the set list and you're like, wow, I hope we can hold their attention through this one.
It's a good song. It's a really good recorded
cut song. Yes, it is. Yeah, it's great. But, you know, that song was written a year ago or more, and now at this point we're looking at it like, let's revisit it and see if we can't make it one of those songs on the set list that you're like, yeah, I think people are really going to enjoy this song. So we're still going back now and trying to get it right if we didn't get it the first time.
And I think, ironically, this is one of those songs that initially Brandon brought in and it was done in 5 minutes. Like he explained us the tune, and there was nothing to it. It was like, that's the tune, and we were all excited about it then. It's like the journey's never over.
We're super hypercritical, too, so they could probably be two songs. They've changed that drastically, you know.
When you get some distance from that, are you more open to making more than subtle changes and actually just slicing and dicing it and see what comes up?
We've even been taking songs from our EP that we're trying to create. All of our songs, we're trying to make the best of every single one of them, and you know, being around Jake Dilley and even Bill Moriarty, who mixed the album, he really kind of transformed a lot of our music and our sound that's on the album too. And we really realized, looking back on some of these songs on the EP, that we can make these songs better, and we have. I think we feel that they're better, and maybe it's just a breath of fresh air for us, and we'll get to that point where we're just like, let's play it the other way, but.
You got to keep it interesting for yourself, too.
Yeah, because that obviously comes out when you're in a live setting.
Yeah, that comes across. People can read that off you if you're bored. That's not good.
It seems like your intentions for Big Tree Bonsai are pretty aggressive, both in terms of the quality of the music and being able to garner some attention. It seems like you guys are sort of unveiling the package, ready to go. You guys are ready to take on whatever comes your way in terms of... whatever that means, whether if you guys are on Letterman in a year or whatever it means, like if it turns into a whirlwind, you guys are all ready to step into that. So I guess maybe what I'm trying to say. So do you guys have specific ideas of what might come, or did you just kind of focus on more of like, just like, let's make sure this is as good as it can be and that we're ready?
I think that's a kind of a conversation that's in the band right now. We've come to the point now where we need to focus. We've focused so much on the future that we've kind of lost touch with the moment, and we really need to just focus on creating the best kind of, I guess, marketable album that we can right now. So this next month up until the release and, you know, past that point a little bit is kind of where we're at right now. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, otherwise we're kind of lose the in-the-moment kind of feel, and... just getting this record out in general, you know, worrying about tours and all that blah, blah, blah stuff is, you know, that'll happen if and when it'll happen. But for right now, we're pretty focused on releasing this album and releasing it the absolute best we can.
I think, you know, the big thing for us is that we'd never made a full-length album before. You know, we hopped in and did the EP, just, you know, short 5-6 song sort of thing, and it sounded great, and we had a really good time capturing that. And I think, you know, it's like you said, there are B-sides. There's songs that didn't make the album. We kind of really spent a lot of time even on the track listing. I mean, if you remember those conversations, we spent a week just trying to figure out what order we wanted to put these things in.
And then it changed, and
we really wanted it to flow. We wanted it to be this final, very physical manifestation, just time capsule, if you will, because we do change. It's a nonstop journey. You know, it's like Zach said, we are slicing and dicing things, and, you know, we haven't really done anything drastic to any of the songs that are on the disc. And I don't think we will, cause we're happy with them. But, you know, right now, today, Awoken is very much us in a bottle, and the listener can get that, and I get that every time I listen through it. It's something that I can be proud of, and I know I can be proud of in 20 years, even if we don't get on Letterman. It's not really about that. You know what I mean? Well,
I'm just trust me, we're good.
Yeah, I'm Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
Just to kind of chime in again, you know, the album's called Awoken, and exactly how Matt kind of said it is, it's kind of the idea of awakening ourselves to ourselves, I guess, if that's kind of weird, but kind of the realization that this is who we are and accepting that, and that idea, I guess that's where the title track and the first song off the disc kind of comes from too.
I once had a plan, but I wrote it down in sand. Then it washed away too far, now I can't see. I once wrote a book, then I tore all the pages out. Then I set fire to all the chapters that plagued me. I was in a while, looking for answers in the clouds. But they really make me feel as though I should believe. For too long I fell deep into the shackles of my defeats. Never woke in yet in jest, the light still flickers. Best describe the way I feel and look for you to reply. So long farewell to the demons that reside in and around beneath me, they've all shattered.
Title track from Awoken, very recent release from Big Tree Bonsai. I want to thank those guys very much for joining me. They're going to be back up north sometime soon, so look for them. They are a fantastic live performance. This has been Center Stage Minnesota, and it's been fun to bring you another edition of it. Here's a band that they kind of remind me of from their very first EP called Pleasure. Here's Semisonic.